2 Samuel, the 5th chapter, verses 17 through 25. The message God has given me for you today is that God has a bigger breakthrough for you. And it's really big. You say, I've had some big things happen. Yes, we have too. But the best is yet to come. Say it with me. The best is yet to come. God has a bigger breakthrough for you, and it's really big. 2 Samuel, the 5th chapter, when the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines came up to seek David. And David heard of it and went down to the hole. In other words, they came for war. This wasn't a family reunion. And the Philistines also came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up to the Philistines? Should I go to battle with the Philistines? Will you deliver them into my hand if I go up to battle? Very good question. The Lord said unto David, go up, for I will without a doubt deliver the Philistines into thine hand. And David came to Baal Perazim. And David smote them there and said, the Lord hath broken forth upon mine enemies before me as the breach of waters. Therefore he called the name of that place the God of breakthrough. Waters breaking through. And there they left their images, and David and his men burned them. And the Philistines came up yet again and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And when David inquired of the Lord, now we have a whole different situation here. Completely different situation, same enemy, but a different situation. The enemy comes again. Can I hear you say again? Don't be surprised if the enemy comes again. And when David inquired of the Lord, he said, thou shalt not go up, but fetch a compass behind them and come upon them over against the mulberry trees. And let it be when you hear the sound of a going in the tops of the mulberry trees, that then thou shalt bestir thyself, for then shall the Lord go out before thee to smite the host of the Philistines. And David did so as the Lord had commanded him, and smote the Philistines from Geba until they came to Gezer. Now, as we look at these verses that are before us, I want to continually keep this theme before us today. God has a bigger breakthrough for you. No matter what you've experienced, no matter what God has done for you in the past, God has something so much bigger, so much greater, so much more wonderful. You see, the nature of God is to do something bigger the next time than he's done in the past. That's the nature of God. God just keeps getting better. Not really, but to us he does. He doesn't need to improve. It's the very nature of God to do something stronger, sometimes more grandiose, to just absolutely surprise you. You know, God's full of surprises. God's full of suddenlies. Now, there's a very interesting story here, so let's go to the very heart of the matter and let's see what God would have us to understand. I believe that God has given me some new understanding about where I am right now, where all of us are right now, where we are as a church. And I believe if you'll listen carefully that all of you will find something in these verses that we're sharing today. One thing I want to say before I let it slip my mind, Satan doesn't know everything. Satan is not all-knowing. It took him 16 verses to figure out that David had been anointed king. 16 verses into 2 Samuel 5, the devil says, something slipped by me. A lot of things slipped by him. He's not all-knowing. He's not omnipresent. And he's really not the big deal that most people make him out to be. But he is there, and he causes a lot of misery in the world in which we live. I hate to say it, but sometimes we cause the misery to ourselves, and Satan got a free ride on that one. You see, this was a time of transition. We've been in a time of transition. A lot of our lives are experiencing transition. We're facing some things we've never faced before. We're experiencing some things that we've not had to deal with before. Maybe similar, but not exactly the way it is. It was a time of great transition. King Saul now has been replaced by King David. Saul is out. Saul is gone. Saul's gone on to his reward. And David is now king. And we find, I believe it was his third anointing earlier in this chapter, where they came and anointed him and made a league with him. It was a time of bonding and trust. And I want you to write this statement down, because I feel like God gave it to me. And I'd like you to write it down. It has ministered to me. Adversity strengthens people of faith, commitment, and character. Let me repeat that one more time. Adversity strengthens people of faith, commitment, and character. I never will forget my mother-in-law when we were going through a very difficult time way back in that original building. And one day, she was always such a wonderful friend, and she said, "How are you doing?" And I told her. And she looked at me with that little grin that she had. She had just a little grin. And she said, "Why," she said, "you'll look back one of these days, Bob, and see this is one of your finest hours." Sometimes the time that you thought was the worst time of your life was a building to the rest of your life. And where would you be today if you had not gone through certain situations and faced them the right way? Now, trials don't strengthen you unless you face them in faith. Trials will make you bitter. Adversity will make you bitter. But if you'll face it in faith, you'll come out on the high side of victory. Adversity does strengthen people of faith, commitment, and character. I've seen this in our time of adversity. And you know, from a pastor's heart, every Thursday night service is important. Every Sunday afternoon celebration, 3 p.m. service is important. Every tithe is important. Every first fruits pledge and commitment is important. Your faithful prayers and attendance and tithe and offerings strengthens and encourages your pastor. But you know, when we came through that time of adversity, I told you that Satan would try everything possible to tell you that you weren't needed, you weren't loved. Satan will do everything in the world to try to get you out of where God placed you. But again, adversity strengthens people of faith, commitment, and character. And I might say your presence here today encourages my spirit. I just took a good look over the audience today, and I could just see face after face after face that I said, thank God, thank God, thank God for faithful people. Now I want you to notice the coming together in 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 1. They all came, all the tribes of Israel, unto David at Hebron, saying, we are thy bone and thy flesh. There was a real bonding and a real coming together. In the third verse, so all the elders of Israel came to David at Hebron, and David made a league with them before the Lord, and they anointed David and acknowledged him as king. This is David's third anointing to be king. David had a lot of water under the bridge before he came to be king. Someone said years ago to Glenn Campbell, how come you're an overnight success? He said, you don't know how long that night was. And I think many of you could probably identify with that. And so they anointed him and acknowledged him as king. And the 10th verse, this is such a wonderful verse. And David went on. Boy, that's good, isn't it? So many people, I see them going back. I'm going forward, they're going back. I'm going on. I'm not going to veer off to the right, veer off to the left, or go back. I'm going forward. So David went on and grew great or stronger in the Lord. And the Lord of hosts was with him. Ladies and gentlemen, none of us completely understand how strong that statement is. When you say the Lord of hosts, you just got through saying all of it. The God who is the God of unlimited power and resources and armies and chariots and angels. Our Lord is the Lord of hosts. And he wins his battles. If you stay with him, you'll come out victorious. And reminding you again, it took Satan 16 verses to hear about David being anointed king over Israel. Now once he heard it, he gets all in a hurry. And now, not only did all of the tribes of Israel come to David and all the elders, but now all the Philistines come up to seek David to make war. I hear this statement quite often. In fact, I was trying to talk to one man about recommitting his life to the Lord. And he said, you know, every time I recommit my life to the Lord, it seems like the bottom drops out. Let me address that. It's kind of like when you haven't prayed for a while and you start to pray and you realize how much prayer has gone undone. Whenever you make Jesus the Lord of your life, then Satan's going to contest that. That's when you need to know to stand up in the Word of God and tell him who you are and who he is and who Jesus is. Any move you make toward God will be contested by the evil one. Be it your health, your finances, a better marriage, a new commitment to God, but big deal. I'd rather take a little adversity with Jesus as the Lord of my life, knowing that I'm going to win, than to wallow in defeat and negativism and let Satan just beat my brains out. Come on. All that live godly in Christ Jesus is going to have some stuff to deal with. But I'd rather go through some stuff with Jesus than go through the one that's putting the stuff on me and take his consequences at the same time. Now, I mean, David made a clear-cut decision. He's king, and they anointed him, and he's king. And now in verse 19, the Philistines have come against David. The Philistines have come out in mass. In fact, it said all of them. I guess everyone that was war worthy, and all of the soldiers and all the chariots and all the implements of war, they all come up to seek David, and they haven't come for friendly purposes. They've come to make war. But David did something. He inquired of the Lord. Wise is the man, wise is the woman, that when you face something difficult, that you don't presume upon the grace of God and think, I'll just run out there and do what I did last time. David inquired of the Lord. One minister said the other day, he said, you know, fight battles you can win. Some people have never figured that out. Some people, ever since I've known them, are fighting battles they can't win, at least in their own strength. Fight battles you can win. Some battles you need to let someone else fight. Some real wisdom in that statement. So David inquired of the Lord. And what did he say? Should I go up? And what will happen if I go up? Should I go to war? And what's going to happen if I go to war? Now that's a wise man that'll ask those two questions. Should I go out and, you know, should I go out in the midst of this thing? And if I go out, will I come back? What are the consequences going to be? And God said, there you go. And God said, And God said, go up. Isn't that wonderful? For I will without a doubt deliver the Philistines into your hand. Yes, David, go to war. Go out. Go up. Don't be afraid. Face the enemy. Because without a doubt, I will deliver. Without a doubt. Now let me ask you, what kind of a war could you fight and what kind of a confidence would you have if God says, go fight the war? I promise that you will be delivered. Sounds to me like somebody believing the promises of God. And the Lord said, yes, he said, you go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into your hand. And of course, you know the story how that David went out, and I'm telling you, that battle went so well that he said, I'm telling you, God's the God of breakthrough. I mean, this is wonderful. Every soldier ought to find out what I found out on this battlefield, that God is a mighty God of war. And there they left their images, and David and his men burned them. And the Philistines came up yet again. And I hear the pastor's phone ringing. Pastor, I was in the prayer line last Thursday. I thought we got rid of this. I thought I would never have another problem. I thought I'd never have another opportunity again. The enemy came again. Do you know, Satan is so bold and so brassy and so whatever you want to call him, he even pulls that on preachers. I remember one time I went through something and I was in some convention, somebody said, yea, thus saith the Lord, you'll never go through this thing again. I've been looking for that prophet ever since then, because I've been going through that same thing time and time and time and time and time again. Now, he was probably sincere, but something on that didn't make a connection. I don't know what the deal is on that. And I'm not putting down a word from God. A real word from God works. Amen. But Satan came again. And this is where more people lose their victory. This is where more people drop out of church. This is where more people get mad at God, get mad at the preacher, because Satan came again. Well, he came again because he was a consistent devil, and that's the only thing he really has in his favor. He is consistent. Like my sister-in-law, they said, how could a storm like that come against a church like Calvary? She said, well, if you were the devil, what would you do? Pretty good theology. And as we look at this situation, the enemy came again. Well, I thought I'd never have another financial problem. I thought I'd never have a pain in my body. I thought I would never have another opportunity. I'm taking just a moment with it, maybe hopefully missing a little bit of humor with it. But folks, life is real. And there's bumps in everyone's road. There's some adversity and some things that you have to deal with no matter how strong your faith in God is. And that's not a negative. Thank God we have that something of God, that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. We have the equipment by faith to handle it and to deal with it. But let's go further. I mean, we discovered that God was the God of breakthrough. I'm telling you, I wrote my testimony. I gave my testimony. I told everyone I knew. And now I look around and that same enemy is back again. Well, what happened? And verse 23, and when David inquired of the Lord, wise man. I thought he inquired of the Lord the first time. He did. But what if the second time David said, oh, hey, I know how to handle this. God said, go for it. I mean, we've got the power, we've got the might, And I mean, we went after that enemy and just crushed that enemy. And we'll do the same thing again the same way. Listen to me. God does not always work the same way every time. He doesn't do it the same way. I remember someone that helped me in the early days of my ministry. And he said, I'm going to help you all the days of your ministry. Well, one day he said, come by and see me periodically. Well, I came by one day and he said, well, things have changed. I can't help you anymore. Well, I appreciated the help that he had given. But you see, things change. God's your source. People are not your source. Your company is not your source. God may have done it one way one time, but he's going to do it another way another time. Let God be God and let God do it the way God desires to do it. Because God has a variety of ways to break through and to meet your needs and to touch your life in a very special way. David inquired of the Lord, people, I could not give you any greater wisdom on the face of God's earth from God's eternal word than don't forget to pray. Don't presume upon the grace of God. Yesterday's faith will not win today's battles. Now faith is. Yesterday's game plan is not the answer maybe to what you faced. It may be, but it may not be. And David was wise enough to say, Lord, what about it? What do we do this time? And you know what God said? He said, you're not going to do it this time like you did it last time. Well, it sure did work good. I want to try that one again. God said, thou shalt not go up, but fetch a compass behind them and come upon them over against the mulberry trees. I mean, it's kind of a lot of moving around here. It's not this head-on, in-your-face way that they won that first battle. And let it be, huh? And let it be. I want to help it be. I want to make it be. And let it be. And let it be. God's way. This thing is so full of truth that it just overwhelms me. You're not to go up, not as it was before. Get a compass, go behind them, come up upon them, over against the mulberry trees, and let it be when you hear the sound of a going in the tops of the mulberry trees that then you'll stir yourself. For then, say with me then, then and there are two very special expressions in the Word of God. What did God say to Elijah? Go a certain place and I will feed you there. And then again he said, go to another place and I will feed you there. You see, you don't get fed just any place. It's in God's there. Some people have never figured out where God's there is for their life. As we look at these verses, he inquired of the Lord, and the Lord said, no, we're not going to do it this time like we did it last time. And that had been the last thing God would have heard out of some people, because the door would slam. They'd be out to do it their way. God said, do it differently. Be willing to do it God's way. Go around behind. Wait. Be willing to wait and let it be. Let it be. Sometimes you almost think you've come on the eve of the death of a vision. Well, if it needs to be, let it be. Let it be. We need to learn as born-again, spirit-filled believers that believe the Word of God. There's a time in your life you need to trust God and let it be. Let God be God. Let God be God. You know, I found out, and I mention this every once in a while, I've discovered when I do everything I know how to do, when I employ every spiritual principle that I know how to employ, when I stand on every principle of faith that I know how to stand on, and somehow things don't work, God just may have a better idea. And I've seen God pull this church through time and time and time again. I thought God let us down, but he didn't. He takes a lot of time. Takes more time than I like sometimes, but I like his track record. He wins. God said, wait until I give the signal. Let go. Go out. Wait. Wait until I give the signal. Now, I want to just break this down to where we live here today. All right, first of all, we have this big battle. Woo, he's the God of the breakthrough. Oh, like the rushing of many waters. I mean, like a dam bursting and the waters flow. That's the way it all happened. But notice, the second battle, God has a bigger breakthrough than before. And I want to show you the principles of it. See, he'll let you get away with just this childlike, bless God, I did it my way. But it's going to be a better breakthrough because we're going to trust more this time. There's more faith involved. Not as before. The first battle was a battle of might and power. And it was exciting. They won. We all like battles, we win. But the second battle is total faith and trust in God, not as before. Because God had a bigger breakthrough than before. Now notice the breakdown of this. First of all, this first step to the greater breakthrough, our breakout, this wonderful victory, is to inquire of God. Inquire of God. You know, we have things and we have means and we have this, that, and the other, and sometimes we forget how dependent we are on God. I mean, I have told God on a daily basis, God, I'm more dependent upon you than a newborn baby is upon its mother. I'm totally dependent upon God. You say, well, preacher, don't you know anything? I hope I know something. Haven't you been through a few experiences? Yes, I certainly have. Don't you know what to do in every situation? No, not entirely. I know what the book says, but is that what God wants for now? And where we miss God is trying to do the second time what we did the first time and presume upon the grace of God. Never take a day or a battle for granted. Never. Never take a day in your life or never take a battle in your life for granted. We must never forget that our utter, total dependence is on God. When you preach believing God and faith like I try to with all of my heart, you know, one couple, they decided not to stay several years ago because they said, well, you know, that's good for those people that need things. You know, this faith is good for people, you know, that haven't arrived at a certain echelon in life. And, you know, that's good for those people. I'm going to tell you something. The Bible said with an unqualified statement, the just shall live by faith. If you're poor, if you're wealthy, the just shall live by faith. You don't get too rich, you're not too poor. You're not too learned, you're not too ignorant, according to the world standard. Folks, what I'm trying to say is every one of us need everything God has. Yes, I've been in the ministry many years, but I do not presume upon the grace of God knowingly. Every day I say, let the words of my mouth and let the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. One doctor, surgeon, I was talking to him. I said, you know, I guess this is kind of old hat with you. And he was one that was very sensitive man. He said, no, Reverend. He said, before every surgery, I pray and I ask God to help me. I said, there's a wise surgeon right there. You know, you may be a whatever. I could call your profession maybe. And you might say, well, I can just do this blindfolded. Yeah. You can get blindsided too. Even if you're the best in your trade, if you're the best in your profession, you need to bow your head and say, God, I need your help today. No matter how many times I've been through this, no matter how many times I face this, God, I need you today. Oh, that's so profound. Inquire of God. The second way to have a greater breakthrough is to get a sure word from God. Not only pray about it, spend some time in the Word. If you're not spending time in the Word of God, I'm telling you, you're an accident looking for a place to happen. I mean, I read chapters this week that I thought I've read and knew backwards and forwards, and I said, what's the other part of that verse? Look at it. You see, this Bible is so unique. God has not hidden His truths from us. God has hidden them for us. No matter how many times you read the 23rd Psalm, you're going to find a new gold nugget every time you read it. No matter how many times you've read Psalms 91, every time you read it with faith, you're going to see something else that you've never seen before. David said, I've been young and now I'm older. And he said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor God's seed begging bread. First of all, inquire of God. Number two, get a sure word from God. Find out the way God wants to do it this time. I remember when we were in that floodway floodplain thing and we'd had to let that lower acreage go. I could call a politician's name that's a household word here in Fort Worth. He's not in Washington anymore, but I was in his office one day and I had two very strong influence peddlers, they called them, you know, people that if they can get the job done, they can get their attention. And I can lean when it's time to lean. I don't lean as much as I used to because I'm leaning more on God. But I mean, I leaned as hard as I could lean because I could not understand why that was not supposed to be. And in spite of everything, we walked out of the office and that politician said, I just don't have time to do it for you. He said, I've got to catch a plane, go to Washington. Man, I thought, God, where are you? This is your work. Remember me? I'm the pastor of the church. We need a favor. We need a political favor. But because of that, if he had granted that, we would have lost it. And I don't have time to go into that now. But because it went that way, God kept it for us until we needed it. I've been through a few things. And when you do everything you know how to do, and it won't budge, it, you know, just stand and withstand and stand and withstand, and just say, I believe God, I believe God. It may not go my way, I may not understand, but I believe God, and it shall be, even as God would have it to be. Something's pulling on me in this house today, and some of you need what I'm ministering, and I sense it in my spirit so strongly. Get a sure word from God. Thirdly, don't try to do it every time just like you did it the last time, not as before. Don't do it. Don't go out, is what God said. But why? You get after your kids for asking that, and then you do it. God didn't even say because. God answered them and said, go around behind the enemy. And here's the fourth step. All right, you inquire of God, you get a sure word from God. You don't just presume and go out and do it like you did it last time. But number four, you wait and you be patient. And you call Pastor Bob Nichols and you say, Pastor, why do things take so long? Abraham, through faith and patience, inherited the promises of God. Man, if some of you had to wait as long as Abraham had to wait, you'd be a problem in a church. I know, Pastor, this is the 30th time I've called you on this one matter, but why do things take so long? I don't know. I have my own list, please. Why do things take so long? I don't know, but God does. In your patience, possess ye your souls. I've just discovered one thing. If I stand on the word and I believe God and I refuse to get a bad attitude and, get all bent out of shape, and if every day I just say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever, God is still working on my case. God is still helping me. That one day, in the most unique way maybe I've ever understood in my life, God will do exceeding abundantly above all I can even ask or think. Wait and be patient. In your patience possess ye your souls. And 5, wait until the wind of the Spirit moves. Now, I know that other translations say, when you hear, I think one said the sound of going. I believe it's the RV that said the sound of marching. In other words, the marching of the heavenly host, marching to join in the attack on the Philistines. But wait a minute, there was something in the top of those trees that told them something. And what goes through the top of trees? Not soldiers. Not chariots, not horses. What goes through the top of trees? What goes through the leaves on a tree? Wind. And the Bible said on the day of Pentecost that suddenly there was a sound as of a rushing mighty wind. Suddenly. You say, what are you trying to say, preacher? I'm trying to tell you that the Holy Spirit of God can do more with less, quicker, than you could do giving the rest of your life trying to accomplish something. Wait for the wind of the Spirit. Yes, it's the marching of mighty angels of God coming to assist you, but wait for the wind of the Spirit. Were you ever in something and something just wasn't quite right? The people involved and your approach to it, and you just say, there's something here that's just not right. Well, you got it. There's something there that's just not right. And when you hit that, God knows how to make it right. Wait for the wind of the Spirit. Don't try to blow the tree leaves yourself. This is not a moment for hot air. I can see a lot of people at the base of the tree or climbing up the tree. What are you doing? I'm helping God out. But when you huff and puff, you may move 2 or 3 leaves. When God moves, he can shake the whole tree. God can shake the whole forest. Wait until the wind of my Holy Spirit blows through the trees. That will be the signal that angels on assignment are on the way. Now, wait a minute. As much as I felt a while ago, something's not right here. Something's not in place. Now, you get that velvety feeling in your spirit. That something that you know, that you know, that you know. And when God puts that faith knowing inside of you, you don't have to kick a door open. You don't have to get a fire axe and beat a door down. You don't have to be mean or unkind or tacky or whatever. When God begins to move, does he move? It's beautiful. Something beautiful, something good when God begins to move. Folks, God's trying to speak to every one of us, and I put myself right in that circle. I want to move with God. When the cloud stops, I want to stop. When the cloud moves, I want to move with God. When the cloud moves, I want to move. When the cloud stops, I want to stop. I don't want to go ahead of God. I don't want to be behind God. And I'm telling you, every emotion that a man of God could experience has gone through this preacher since that day of that storm blowing through. But you know what? I don't like that word feeling so much, but you understand, I've got a feeling. And I could go deeper than that and say, I've got a faith that everything is going to be all right. God doeth all things well. It takes time. Things take time. But God does all things well. So many things I've wondered about. I just keep seeing God's answers. Sometimes it seems like on a daily basis, I just see God's answers. Now see, Bob, this was best. Now see, Bob, see how that's working out? See, Bob, just keep on trusting me. Oh, my. Now it's time to move with God and to go forward in faith and see victory God's way. You see, God has a greater breakthrough for you. You thought that last one was wonderful. You thought that was great. You thought, oh, if God ever helped me, God help me then. Hey, God has something so much bigger. God has something so much better. God has something so much more unique. And he's going to help more people in the process of it. God's not interested just in helping you. God wants to help you and a lot of other folks. God's miracles are all encompassing. There's something for everyone when God moves. We move with God. So never take a day or never take a battle for granted. We must never forget that our utter total dependence is upon God. And listen to this. We must have fresh guidance and fresh power to achieve fresh victories. I want to say that again because that is so on track. We must have fresh guidance and fresh power to achieve fresh victories. Yesterday's faith will not win today's battle. Faith is now. What is God saying now? You know, this message applies to boys and girls. It applies to teenagers. It applies to singles. It applies to young married couples. It applies to parents, grandparents, every one of us here. Dear God, at this time in my life, I don't want to do my thing. I don't want to pursue my plans. I don't want to just do what I want to do. I want to let go and let God have his wonderful way. My heart is crying out, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. How do you want to do it this time, Lord? Someone might say, haven't you done that before? Yes, but I have enough sense and I've learned it the hard way. What does God want to do this time? How does God want to handle it this time? And as I look at these verses, God has a greater breakthrough for you, and it's called breakout. It's called victory. It's called exceeding abundant above all that you could ask or think. God can take nothing and make something out of it. That's the way he got started. Earthwise, at least. And God can take your nothing. God can take your little bit. God can work a miracle.